Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a plan that afterwards seems rather foolish. Was my plan this last weekend to stay through Saturday noon so I would be there for the discussion of the joint statement and then leave and be back here in time to get ready for church Sunday morning. The joint statement discussion was not over until Sunday at, when did we finish it? Right around 12:15 in the afternoon. So I stayed because I thought that was important. Consequently, instead of a sermon based on the text that I had been preparing, I actually have a part of one of the papers given at the convention that was written by my brother David. I am still going to read the text here, though, because it fits in very nicely with it, and have a few words about that after we read the text. Mark 4, 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What is the most amazing, what is the most marvelous part of that account? When I was traveling as a missionary and spent long hours on a plane, I was always very glad that I didn't have problems sleeping on a plane. I know many people do. And if you spend 14 hours flying from the U.S. to India and you can't sleep, that's a rather miserable journey. The most amazing part of this account is not when Jesus wakes up and says to the storm, "Be still," and it listens to him. The most amazing part of this account is that on a boat, in the middle of a sea, being tossed back and forth through a storm and by waves, Jesus had no problem falling asleep. And we might well ask and wonder, how could he do that? For it would indeed be a skill that would be incredibly valuable. Not many of us often find ourselves probably on a boat in a storm. But to be able to come home from the hospital after your doctor has told you you have cancer, to be able to come home after a bad accident, or when your little one is in danger, and to be able to fall asleep in peace, in confidence, knowing that the Lord is in control, and he is taking care of it. That is a skill that we could all use, and one which Jesus says we should be able to do. The problem is, we just often, like Job in that first scripture reading, fail to put our trust in the wisdom of the Lord. And that's where the paper that my brother gave at convention comes in. Because it shows us the way to do that. And the reason why, no matter what may be going on in our life, no no matter how bad it may seem, we can sleep in confidence through the storm, knowing that our shepherd is taking care of us. Isaiah 49:11. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And he will gently lead those who are with young. My dad has strong, large hands. Seriously, they're huge. Go shake his hand sometime. He comes here pretty often. And you will know what I'm talking about. Of course, all little children think that their dad is the strongest. When they get older, they may realize that that's not true. But I still am pretty sure that my dad could beat up most of your dads. As one of his children, I've had a view to see the strength of my father on many occasions. But I've also had the perfect perch to witness how gentle those strong hands can be. There are plenty of men in this world who are strong. But sadly, there are plenty of husbands who use that strength to abuse their wives. There are plenty of fathers who use it to mistreat their children. And there are far too many men who think that strength is the measure of manliness. I can never be thankful enough to God for a father who is a real man, strong and gentle. There's just something perfectly poignant about that combination. What is cuter than a strong father holding a tiny baby? Or a husband's large, rough hands tenderly holding his bride's smooth and slender ones? I have seen my father's hands doing both of those things. Every night before she died, he and my mom went for a walk hand in hand. And as my mom's body wasted away, Dad's strength gently carried her. And now my little daughters cling to Opa, and he holds them. It is the same with Christ. Isaiah 40:11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Verses 9-10 show us that Christ's victorious strength. They show us Christ, a conqueror, coming for recompense, reward, and even revenge. But verse 11 shows us a different side, or rather, a different view of that same strength. It shows us what that victory was for. It shows us what those big, powerful hands were made to do. To tenderly and gently hold little lambs in his bosom. And it's all about his resurrection. For our good shepherd lives. A great number of passages in which Jesus is called shepherd directly speak about his resurrection. All the rest do so indirectly. One of my favorites is John 10:11-18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This I have received from my Father. Hands don't get any bigger or stronger than that, do they? This is something that only Jesus can say. I have authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up again. The Father cannot say that because the Father cannot die. He did not take on human flesh, but Jesus did. This man, Jesus, is God. In this man, God died. At the same time, no other man can say this, because none of us can say that no one takes my life from me, or that I have authority to take it up again. It is an entirely unique statement. And it is why Jesus says, I am the shepherd, the good one. There is no other like him, because he is God and man, because he is powerful and tender, because he is strong and gracious, because he is exalted and humble. In this verse, Jesus is saying that the essence of what it means for him to be shepherd is that he would die and rise again. He is the good shepherd because he died for us. But that alone would not be enough. A dead shepherd is no shepherd. Which is exactly why death and the devil were so gleeful at the thought of devouring him on the cross. With the shepherd dead, they thought they could snatch and tear the flock with ease. Fools. Didn't they know what happens when death swallows life? Didn't they know exactly what sort of shepherd this was? Man and God, gentle and strong, humble and exalted. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is applying every passage which speaks about God as shepherd to himself. And he is also teaching us that shepherd means the lamb who died, the one who was dead and now lives forevermore. At the very heart of every passage which calls Jesus our shepherd is both the cross and the empty tomb. Every Christian can say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The book of Revelation beautifully declares, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He is with you. He holds you, both strong and gentle, as lamb and lion, by crucifixion and resurrection. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.